You are the salt of the earth, you're the light to the world. My dear people in Christ, when St. John Paul II, when he visited St. Anthony's Shrine in Padua, he referred to St. Anthony as the man of the gospel, a man called not just to proclaim, to explain and endorse the gospel, but above all, to live out the gospel and to make it the norm and the centre of his life. And to reach the stage of being a man of the gospel, Anthony travelled a road that was marked out for him by the hand of a patient and a jealous God. This man, as we know, Anthony of Padua, who we are honouring and praying to over these 3 days, can support all of us to walk on a road marked out for us by God. Whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whether you're young or old, whether you're single or married, teenager, priest or religious, whatever our calling in life happens to be, God has marked out something for all of us. As you know, Anthony was born in the year 1195 at Lisbon in Portugal. And at the age of 15, he entered the congregation of what is called the Canon Regulars of St. Augustine. And he devoted himself with great eagerness both to study and to the practice of piety in the monastery at Coimbra. And at 25 years of age, he was ordained a priest, and it looked as if his future as an Augustinian canon would bring him the fullness and the peace he wanted in his life, a life that would be of contemplation and prayer. But it was just then that the world he had come to know came to an end by throwing his life upside down. About that particular time, some of the first members of the Order of the Friars Minor, which St. Francis had founded in 1206, came to Coimbra. And then in 1219, some of these friars were moved by divine inspiration. They went as missionaries to preach the gospel of Christ to the people of Morocco in North Africa. There, they were brutally martyred for the faith. And sometime afterwards, after they were martyred, some Christian merchants succeeded in recovering their remains and so brought their relics back to the monastery in Coimbra. Saint Bernard and his companions and the relics of these martyrs, the first martyrs of the Franciscan order, seized Anthony with such an intense desire to suffer martyrdom in like manner. He was completely converted. So moved by the example of these early Franciscans, he requested the superiors of the Canons Regulars to be given leave to join the Franciscan order. And in a quiet little Franciscan convent, he was received and accepted into the Franciscan order. I simply recount that part of St. Anthony's story and his history here tonight because it reminds me of so many others who have had their plans in life turned upside down, changed because of God's intervention. It happens in all of our lives. I think of the great St. Paul on the road to Damascus, full of zeal, trying to destroy the early church, out to destroy the young Christian church, and how God intervened and all were changed, plans were changed. He was on the road to Damascus when he was struck down, and Jesus said, "Why are you persecuting me?" I think it's amazing. In latter days, I remember reading of a young medical student from America called Thomas Dooley. You may or you may not remember that when the American Army was involved in a war in Laos, well, it was then that he traveled as a young medical student to help the sick and injured during that terrible war when so many died. What he saw there of the squalor and the suffering among the people, it made such an impression on him that after he was discharged from the American Army, he felt so compelled to return there as a medical missionary. And with three of his former colleagues in the Army, he offered his medical services to the people in Laos, a country at that particular time ravaged by war, but above all with endless human need. It maybe would remind you of what's happening in Palestine today, when we see the ravages of war and what's happening to children and what's happening to women and happening to so many people, and the destruction of so much property and territory. But this small little group decided, and I quote their exact words, because they saw the endless human need in Laos, the only good reason for existence is not what you're going to get out of life, but what you're going to put into it. In other words, what are you going to put into life? What are you going to give back to the people around you? And this particular statement of theirs, you could say it was laced with Easter faith, with the faith of Jesus Christ and the values of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ reached out to people, and after 30 years of silent life, after baptized in the Jordan, he set out on a mission to the people. He preached to them, but he reached out to the deaf, to those who were blind, to those who could not walk. But above all, he reached out to those who were spiritually blind, those who could not hear the voice of God, and simply told them that they were God's people and that God had a place for them. Tom Dooley set out to work with a small team. He was a doctor among 2 million people, and he and his team worked and slept in the most appalling conditions, striving to bring the healing and the compassion of Jesus Christ to those people who are suffering. And you think of the men and women who work in Gaza, trying to do the same today. And then, just like St. Anthony of Padua, who had his plans changed, came the bitterest personal blow to him. Tom Dooley discovered he had a malignant chest tumour. In other words, he had cancer. Here he was ready to give his life, his medical expertise to these people in need, and he was struck down. God once more had intervened. And yet, he went back to America for surgery, and following on that surgery, he dreamed of a ceremony that he had witnessed and seen in Asia many, many times. And if you know that country, before the monsoon rains come, the people set the mountains on fire, knowing that the ashes will fertilize the soil for the planting of the new rice, for the new harvest. And out of that soil, new life will spring forth. And he saw that the dream was meant for him, the planting of new seedlings of his life into the burnt soil of his own personal mountain. And it was there and then he decided he would go back and continue the work he began in Laos until God called him home, until his time ran out. rather than stay at home and fruitlessly bemoan his misfortune. He remembered the lines of the poem written by the great poet Robert Frost. The woods are lovely and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. So he went back to Laos, and for almost 24 hours a day until he collapsed. He was only 34 years of age when he died, but he became an example to many people of courage, perseverance, and above all, the faith of Jesus Christ. Most of us, I'm sure, have seen, and we have been the recipients of that marvelous spirit. And as people like this who challenge and inspire us in our setbacks. Here I would just like to remind you, as I said, what we read here in the Gospel tonight. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are asked to be the salt of the earth. We are asked to be a light to the world. And if ever there was a time needed in our society that we need men and women who would be the salt of the earth and a light to the world, now is that particular time. And you know as well as I do that as we go through life, we come across so many good men and women who give of their time, who give of their energies in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Most of us have seen daily examples of that marvellous spirit, but far too often we only hear of the bad news. There's an old Welsh proverb that says, bad news goes about in clogs, but good news goes about in slippers. We don't hear about the good news. And no matter what's taking place around us, no matter what wars are taking place, no matter what we see in our streets at night time, do not let it get us down, because there is so much good taking place at the same time. And thank God our society is still full of men and women who give their time and energies in spreading the good news of Christ. They don't do it in the broad glare of the world medium, but in their own quiet, silent way. I think of those men and women who are Christians 7 days of every week, for every minute of every hour of every day. Some of them had the option of saying that society gave them a raw deal and it condemned them to find work at an early age, forcing them out of the education at an early age. They could, like so many more who decide to fall into our chat shows and complain and give out about the injustice of the system, looking for what I can get rather than what I can give. No, they do the opposite. They give up their time and their talents. And you see the way they give it back to children. Think of those who give up their times to those children who may be not physically well off. Think of the man or the woman who goes down to visit the lonely neighbour. Think of those who give their time back into sport, into education, to society, to the country. They reach out with a helping hand. They think of their neighbour and they do it with a heart and they do it with full of faith. Setbacks, difficulties and trials come to all of us. And it is understandable when some of us down tools in the face of bad news, when we receive bad news, because we are human. And it's easy to become withdrawn and full of self-pity and to resign and retire from living. And the news that we receive may not be life-threatening, but at times it's enough to bring us down. And simply, the hard knocks of failure or disappointment can leave us discouraged and resentful and make us hard to live with. And perhaps we allow bitterness to creep into our lives. But that is the time to turn to God, to believe that God doesn't do things without a reason. God has created you for a purpose. God has given you a mission in life. God has picked you out in the midst of all, and each one of us in our own way are unique. And this is when faith in God is such a wonderful help in lifting us out of our despair and despondency and giving us a reason to live and contribute our talents and usefulness for as long as we have them. Each day, God gives us the gift of life. You can reach out in service, you can reach out in compassion, or we can do the opposite, we can hide away. You can be the salt of the earth. You can be the light of the world. It doesn't matter whether you have one talent, two talents, or 10 talents, but you can reach out. I know that pain and suffering visits the homes of many people in different ways. It comes to all of us at different times and in different forms. But it's too easy to simply say that it is the will of God. And tonight, and during these 3 days of our Triduum, when we seek the intercession of St. Anthony, who had his life turned upside down, let us ask for the grace to understand and to help all of us in our moments of doubt. In our moments when our faith is not as strong as it should be, when we're tempted to say, where is God in the midst of all of it? Where is God in the midst of all that's happening around us? But remember, God is with us. I would just quote the words of St. Paul tonight to you. We are often troubled, but we're not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. We know that in all things, God works for good with those who love him. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're asked to be the light in the world. We're asked to be the salt of the earth, and we ask for that grace here tonight.